I have hit record. Joe, let me hear your levels. Voila, in view, a humble vaudevillian clown trying to get down here south of downtown for my white friends and my brown with my nonsense and my non-rhymes all up in your face in this little space where we've got it from near and far from Chicago to pre- okay, I fucked up. Go. Just do the intro. Speak clearly. Unlike me.
Welcome, one and all. Probably just one to the next episode. This episode of JBC. I am your host, Joe Neal, and with me is my brother from another mother, but the same grandmother, Jason Mark, who is watching a Louis C.K. comedy special. He's laughing his ass off, simultaneously enjoying a Woody Allen movie, harassing a woman, strangling a puppy, putting wet garbage into a recycling bin, that's wrong, and feeling guilty about his penis size.
Okay, full disclosure
which
for all of our listeners.
Which is enormously small, motherfuckers.
The four times we tried to do that before, you weren't actually on the queue for the punchline. This time you were. So, there you go.
Not happy with it. I'm not happy.
I know. But you know what? We are 45 minutes late. We're a day and 45 minutes late. I have to be up early tomorrow to masturbate.
And you're not going to let me do it again. I get it.
I know you're a musician and a professional and shit, and you're used to doing many, many takes to get it just right. But I'm a slack ass. You were lucky to get four out of me, Joe.
I'm down. I get it. We're going to be fine.
We'll be fine. Look, one of the charms of this show is how terrible it is. We keep making it good. I mean,
One of the features of the show is that the show must end.
Right.
And I think what just happened plays right into what we need, which is we need the show to stop.
Because of what just happened.
Yeah, what I'm saying is it's just another... Check it out. I didn't have anything prepared when it comes to an argument for cancellation. But all I would have to do is play the beginning of this show at the end of the show.
Okay.
And everyone will understand.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, that's what you should do. Let's do that. At the end of the show, play the beginning of the show.
Jason, can we just have fun tonight?
Let's just Wang Chun. Look, I'm going to start things off like this, all right? You talk about we need to cancel the show. We're not good at this. I'm going to read to you a book that I found, okay? I'm going to read you the whole book, actually, on the air. I'm going to read the whole thing.
Okay, chapter one. Here, actually.
No, seriously.
That's
I'm
right.
Gonna,
I, oh, holy I'm shit. Even, can I just, like, go to sleep now?
No, no. Right. I'm not even joking. You think I'm joking. I'm going to read the whole book, and then I'm going to tell you who wrote it, and then you'll see why we're not suited to do this, okay?
No, that's not fair to our listener. Just tell us what the book's name is, and then start reading it, and I'll go to sleep, and whoever our listener is will also go to sleep. It'll be great because your voice is very soothing.
I'd like to
if you're just reading a book. Just read the fucking entire book.
I'm gonna read the entire book. Are you ready? Here it's called Hello Bee, Hello Me. All right, first page is a picture of a bee and it says Hello Bee. The second
did
page
you write it?
No, I didn't. The second page there's a really fucked up mirror and it says Hello Me, and the next page says Hello Frog, Hello Dog, Hello Bee.
Oh,
hello,
no.
Me.
Jason.
I'm not done yet.
No.
Hello, bat. Hello, cat.
No.
Hello,
are
snail.
Are you reading the book right now?
I am. Hello, whale. Hello, bee. Hello, me. Goodbye. That's the whole book. I just finished reading it. That's Hello, Bee, Hello, Me. And here is the thing that I think is the best about this book. And I'm not making this up, Joe. This is 100% the truth. Written by Joyce Aronson, PhD.
Okay.
You want me to read the book again? I'll read the book again. Hello, bee. Hello, me. Hello, frog. Hello, dog. Hello, bee. Hello, me. Hello, bat. Hello, cat. Hello, snail. Hello, whale. Hello, bee. Hello, me. By Dr. Joyce Aronson. Yep. All right. I mean, if doctors are writing books like that, what are two schlubs like you and me doing trying to make a fucking podcast?
I'm all tied up in my brain now. Listen. This situation. What is he a doctor of?
She. Sexist.
No, come on, please. All doctors are males. Well, everyone knows that.
Well, his name is
Every
Joyce.
Every doctor is a male. If you just said that that doctor is a female, clearly that's not true.
What is Joyce Aronson a doctor of? I don't know. I'll look him her up on the internet. It appears that... Well, there is a Joyce Aronson...
Look, man. We call it a fucking Shahi.
A Shahi. Okay. Well, Shahi... Yeah.
Get the terminology right. You're very politically incorrect.
I am. Shahi. I'm Sahari. Shahi is a psychologist in Massachusetts.
A
psychologist.
Right, you know what? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that was the stupidest joke that you'll hear this year.
Joe. I don't think that's the stupidest joke they're going to hear this year. Our show is only 6 minutes into the evening so far. But there you go. Joyce Aronson is a doctor of psychology, I guess. Okay. Or whatever the thing is. And she wrote a book.
So we are to assume that what she's saying is somehow psychologically beneficial to children. Am I right?
I don't think so. I think she's fucking nuts because every other word is hello. All right, so that teaches kids to like embrace strangers and shit. On the three pages where it says hello me, there's a mirror, which is narcissistic, and the mirror is really, really fucked up. I mean, really fucked up. Like, if the kid is saying, "That's what I look like," no wonder they're depressed. So this is just, and there's no people in it. It's a bee, three times, a frog, a dog, a cat, a bat, a nail.
Is it a bumblebee? Is it a sexy bumblebee for Halloween?
It's not sexy, but it is a bumblebee. I mean, it's a kid's book. What other kind of bee they can put? Sweat bee? It's a bumblebee.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get some sort of...
Oh, no. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at Joyce Aronson, PhD. She's no Ariana Grande, that's for sure. Anyway.
Okay. This is tough. We need to move on. I don't like that doctors write books like this. I don't get it. Is that supposed... It's good for our children, right? You have a kid. I don't. Yeah. Do you agree? Do you think it's a good story for a kid?
No, I don't.
And why do... even if it is, couldn't someone in fucking eighth grade have written this book? Not a doctor. A doctor wrote this book.
Yeah.
Did she cash in? Oh, shit. Please, please tell me she's not making fucking millions of dollars. Oh, she is. She is. She is.
Probably she is. I don't know. I mean, maybe she wrote this when she's in eighth grade, but it took getting a PhD to have enough clout to get the fucker published. Maybe that's what she's up against as a human being.
Oh, my God. I think you just fucking nailed it. I think that's it.
That's what it is. She wrote it when she's in eighth grade.
It's a piece of shit. I think she came up with it yesterday, but because she's a doctor, somehow that – oh, fuck, man.
You know what, Joe?
It is important.
It is important.
Oh, my God.
I just realized something about
– Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Dr. Joseph Neal?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you – Dr. Joseph, welcome to the podcast.
I'm just saying I have a doctorate in Taco Bell management.
Yeah.
And that's a weird doctorate. Not many people have it.
You're a meat doctor.
Once I got it, I was able to become the third best manager of a Taco Bell in Davenport, Iowa.
I thought you told me that you were the best manager of the third best Taco Bell.
I keep getting that wrong. Yeah. I am the best. Clearly, I'm the best manager, but I'm the manager of the third best Taco Bell. Dr. Joseph Neal.
Yeah.
Okay. And my doctorate is in Taco Bell management.
Right.
You'd think. Well, no, it only makes sense. I am the best. I'm the best. Now, my Taco Bell is the third best, and there's only four in the town. There's four Taco Bells in the city, and I am the best manager for sure, right? You've told me this over and over again, and you're related to me, but you're like, come on, Joe, clearly you're the best one. I think so, and it's because I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. Come on. You know what I mean? I don't know where to go from this. I'm stymied. I'm all fucked up about this. This doctor wrote a story.
I wouldn't call this story. There's no verbs in it.
Well, look, let's face it. It's a story that you or I or anyone or a drooling fucking chimpanzee. Now some chimpanzees.
Chimpanzee.
Listen, some chimpanzees are very, very smart. But one that could have written this story didn't need to be smart.
That's a very good point.
Of the chimpanzees in the group, it could have been the kind of like cross-eyed, like wobbling chimpanzee. He could have written that story.
She could have written it.
Z.
Z. When we're talking about chimpanzees, it's a he, she.
They
could have written it, yeah.
They could have written the story.
Let me see if I got this straight. Are you saying that if you have an infinite number of monkeys and an infinite number of typewriters, they will eventually write, hello, B, hello, me? I mean, is that the kind of thing you're getting at?
I think if you have one typewriter and one special needs chimpanzee, that story would fucking just come forth. It would rise to the surface. That's what I'm saying. I mean, now, Shakespeare is different. Shakespeare, you're going to need a whole room full of fucking chimpanzees and a whole bunch of typewriters. And then suddenly, oh, my God, it's a fucking Shakespearean play. But this is different. Yeah. It's one special needs chimpanzee. Here, I'm banging on the table. One special needs chimpanzee, one typewriter with three missing
It's true.
Three missing letters, and you've got it. You've got it. Here, read the entire book again
I'm
for
gonna
us.
Read the entire book. Hello, bee. Hello, me. Hello, frog. Hello, dog. Hello, bee. Hello, me. Hello, bat. Hello, cat. Hello, snail. Hello, whale. Hello, bee. Hello, me. Goodbye.
Hello, fuck you, doctor. Hello, fuck this. Hello, shit. Are you kidding me?
And here's,
all I can do is curse at this point.
Here's the thing about this book, in addition to it being awesome. It's waterproof. It's puffy. And you,
well, that's something.
You can read it in the tub, in the shower.
Can you read it in a box? Can you read it with a fox?
You can read it with your head shoved up your ass. I mean, I've basically got the thing memorized by now. So, yeah. And you weren't joking,
Jason,
about...
we're moving on because I don't want this to be based on anger. And I'm angry.
All right.
I'm
angry. Let's talk about what we did last weekend. Now, you went out of town and so did I. And I know that you're going to tell us all of the exact details. You're not going to make up anything at all, like the fact that you met Macklemore. You're not going to say that.
I didn't. That wouldn't be true.
Who did you meet? I mean, what did you do?
Let me make a list of some of the people, and this is true, that I didn't meet. But you know that what is that colloquialism where, like, you're rubbing shoulders with celebrities? You know what I mean?
I think that's the colloquialism. Unless it's like rubbing. Well, here, let me ask you this question. I mean,
yeah.
What were you doing that there were celebrities involved? Was it a Taco Bell thing?
Well, that's how I got in.
You know? Oh, you delivered the Taco Bell. Is that what you're saying?
No. It's just that if you're, I'm high ranking again.
Yes, you are.
I'm high ranking, so, you know, every once in a while you get these opportunities to go and rub shoulders at these Hollywood gala events.
Right.
You know, everybody looks at you like you're a fucking piece of shit because you are. But I am, and I didn't meet any celebrities. I literally rubbed shoulders with them.
So you literally. So you did sexually harass female.
No. Oh, no, no.
Yeah, you say that. You say that, but I mean,
well, you know what? If my knee, while I was trying to get through a crowd to get a free champagne, if my knee brushed Josh Duhamel, Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
If my knee passed just below and brushed his the lowest part of his sack as I went through, I wasn't trying to harass him. That's not – do I have to now go down? Like, is this over now? Do I need to go to jail? All I was trying to do was get through and get – I saw it. I was like, holy shit. We're at this gala event, and I just want that champagne. I just want the champagne. And I saw him while he was going past, and I was like, holy shit. And all of a sudden, my knee kind of just jostled his nutsack. Am I a molester?
Yeah, you are. I mean, that's absolutely true. However, you're not going down. You're going up. That's the way it works in this country. You can now run for office.
Well, he does. He is about like 6'5". And I was squatting to get through the crowd, and yet my knee touched his nutsack. We're talking about a guy that is like 6'5", and his nutsack is dangles about, you know, 2 feet from the ground. This man, he's a real man. That's what I'm
trying
to say.
You nailed it. Like, he's 6'4".
I'm just trying to get by him. I was just trying to get by him. I didn't even say, like, hey, man, I'm a huge fan. Woo! And I'm like trying to give a high five or anything. I pretended like he was nobody for, you know, I thought that was a good way to go. But guess what? My knee touched his nutsack. So,
well, that's,
what am I going to do?
That's a beautiful story. He is 6'4", according to the internet. So when you said he's like 6'5", you nailed it. And he's married to Fergie. I didn't know that. And his son is named –
he used to be married to Fergie. Fergie was not there. Fergie was not there. And I have a feeling that man can basically just show up with anyone. Actually, if he showed up with you on his arm, I wouldn't have been surprised. If he was like – you know what? You know who I find really attractive? Jason Mark.
Dr.
I'm going to show up at this gala event with that woman on my arm. But he didn't. I'm just saying he can do whatever he wants. He's a stunning man. And
stunning
I'm
man.
Sorry that I touched his ball sack with my knee.
That's oh, you're right. They separated this year. Him and Fergalicious separated. You're right. And you touched, probably because, I'm not saying she left him because you touched his nutsack, but there's got to be a connection, Joe.
Well, I guess the truth is just nuanced, isn't it? Because it turns out I've got a big problem here. Listen, should we do this? Should we talk about what the fuck is going on in Hollywood? I felt really comfortable in Hollywood.
No.
This weekend.
Oh, you did.
Here, let me just say this. I felt comfortable there because I feel like Hollywood has been taken down a notch or two. Just Hollywood in general.
You felt comfortable being there because it had been taken down a notch or two.
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, whatever. If you're not a molester, you know one. So fuck you.
Yeah.
And so I just got to be like, oh, wow, look, there's that one person from that one show. Here's another person from another show. I don't have to feel inferior because clearly every single one of these people knows someone that misbehaved and they should have said something. So it takes them all down about three or four notches, and then I can just hang out with them and feel good. Know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you there. Well, not 100%. Here's the percentage points I'm off. I feel like – and I'm serious about this, Joe. I feel like we were all complicit in this to some degree. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean we – as far back as I can remember –
oh, my God. You're right. Sorry. You're right. Go ahead.
As far back as I can remember, I knew about the so-called casting couch, right? You know? I mean I
thought that was a porn thing though. Well, no. You're right. Gosh, shit. It's always been there.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's all. We've never been able to understand it. Well, we've never been able to fucking call it out. It's all of our faults.
Well, it's in as much as I am able to sway any industry by not taking part. I mean, if I was truly appalled at the knowledge of the casting couch, I shouldn't have gone to see movies or watch TV shows, but I did anyway. I guess I accepted that was just the sleaziness of the industry. Now, I didn't know anybody specifically that was going on, and I'm right now, I refuse to go see films directed by people that have been outed as sleazebags, And I think I've said this on previous episodes. I've seen exactly one Woody Allen film in my life. I didn't like it. It was a misogynistic piece of garbage. I watched it against my will, and I refused to watch anything by that man because he's disgusting.
You watched against your will.
I was. No, I mean, I wasn't like strapped down. I could have walked out of the room, but I was not the one who chose that piece of crap. And I don't care if he's a fucking genius or not. What I watched was terrible, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm better off not having watched any of his other pieces of crap. But yeah,
I'm not a huge fan. I don't watch but a bunch of Woody Allen movies. I understand that. See, to me, there's a gray area here. I've been talking to my wife about it. She's a woman. She said something like that really fucked me up the other day. She was like, "You know what? Men are just like that. If you give a man enough power, that's what happens to him." And I was like, "Excuse me." That's hardcore. You're telling me that I'm evil at this point. You're telling me that I'm evil. Like, if I get enough power, I'm going to be this fucking dickhead. And I was like, please don't go there. Like, don't rein me into this. Don't generalize all men into this. Like, if you get enough power, you will be a fucking molester.
Well, okay.
No.
Okay, hang on a second now. Let me play devil's advocate or your wife's advocate. I don't know what I'm doing here.
You're a man too, so
yeah,
right,
I know.
Go ahead.
But here's your wife is a single human being, and she does not speak for.
She's not single. She's married.
Yeah, that's a good point. She is one person, and she does not, nor would she claim to speak for every single woman on the planet. She would not claim to do that.
To me, she kind of does though. When I hear her say something like that, I'm like, she's not the only woman that feels that way.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
This is what I'm getting at. She can only give you the benefit of her perspective, and her perspective is as a person who is part of the quote-unquote minority. So it's not that she's saying that it is the opinion of all women that all men will abuse their power. She's saying that it is her point of view that – she expects any man who has a great amount of power to be someone capable of doing things that she needs to protect herself from. And that includes you. And that's because she's a minority. And I tell you what, Joe, as far as I understand, there'll be a lot of black people who say the same thing about white people. It's not that the black person thinks all white people are evil. It's that the black person has learned, I need to protect myself from the possibility that this white guy with all this power is going to fuck me over. And you and me, we're white dudes. We don't have to worry about it at all. There's nobody that we'll ever come across and we're going to think that, oh no, everyone who's ever been like this, who had a lot of power, fucked me and my kind over. That's never happened. We might say it about an individual, say a Kim Jong-un, for example. We might say, oh, if we go to his country, he'll have us, you know, tortured and killed. But that's him, not all Koreans, right? We have to worry about it. But women have to be wary because there have been enough circumstances where it would better to be prepared than not. I think that's what she's getting at.
No, I get it. And clearly we're beyond trying to be funny. I actually get what you're talking about. What I don't like is that I have to be roped in. Suddenly I am suspect as a fucking white dude. I don't like it. I don't like that. And my own wife was like looking at me sideways.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking seriously. Well, because oh shit. The idea was this. Oh. She looked at me sideways. She's like, if you had enough power, would you do that too? And I'm like, no. No. Why am I suspect?
Well, you say that.
And then by the way, look at the entire historical, you know, racial conflict, terrible shit between, you know, the American white people and the slavery bit. It's terrible. And of course black people are like, fuck, what the fuck is that? But I don't want to be roped into that. I didn't make that fucking decision. I didn't make that decision. And by the way, I'm not Louis C.K. By the way, I've never been as powerful as him either. But the assumption is, if you had the power, would you do it? And the answer is no. Why am I a part of this accusation? I don't like it. Well, does that make sense, Jason?
Yeah, it does. I feel you, obviously, when you say you don't like it. But I guess one of the phrases that you said that your wife said
was... white privilege. It is. I get it.
No, I'm not talking about that. Not talking about that. Here's what I'm getting at. One of the phrases that you said your wife said was, that's the way it is, right? She used those words, something along those lines. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but that's the way it is. And so the way it is, Joe, is either you are potentially fucked or potentially the fucker, for want of a better phrase. And you're right now telling me that you don't like being called potentially the fucker. Well, that just means then you need to go to the other side and be potentially the fucked. And that's where the white privilege comes in, Joe, because I'm pretty sure you don't want to do that. I'm pretty sure you don't want to do something that's going to make you automatically automatically susceptible to victimhood, right?
All right. Jason, this is it. When stuff like this whole, you know, Hollywood thing is happening, mm-hmm. where all these men are being exposed, and these are people that previously I supported. Like, wow, what a great artist. Guess what? Fuck you, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey, Louis C.K., I don't give a fuck about Harvey Weinstein. Is that even how you say his name? I don't give a fuck. Apparently, you know, he's a big deal and he made a lot of really good movies happen. But to me, it really hurt me that these people like Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. have behaved in this way. And what I'm hearing from my wife and from other women is like, oh, fucking men. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I swear to God, I'm being roped into it. I'm having to defend myself, and I am not this fucking asshole. And maybe it's because, and this is what my wife said. Well, you don't know what it's like to have that power. Maybe if you did, you would switch into this weird fucking supervillain. Well, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. But I can't prove it to her because I'm not powerful enough to prove it to her.
Right. Right.
So she's looking at me like, oh, well, guess what? Yep. You and your friends and everyone with a dick. There's a problem. Now, I talked with her to the point where she was like, yes, there is a suspicion and it does make me feel uncomfortable. But I do trust you, Joe. You are my husband. Like we got to the point where she was able to kind of level with me and give me the benefit of the doubt that I'm not a rapist, Jason.
Right. Well, so again, I think that if you take the vast majority of men, I think the vast majority of men aren't capable of doing that. But it's not one woman interacting with every single man and then taking the average interaction. It's one woman ending up interacting with just one guy. And if the percentage chance of a woman being harassed is anything above 0.5%, she's going to have to be wary. I mean, if I told you, Joe, there's a 0.5% chance that your wife is going to die in a car crash tomorrow if she doesn't drink a cup of coffee, you would make her drink that cup of coffee, wouldn't you? You'd be like, drink the coffee. 0.5% is too high. I can't handle that.
I get it. And so after this, after I say this, can we transition back into attempting to be funny? I'm going to say one more thing.
As long as we're only attempting, yes.
Right. And we've only always just Never. Attempted.
Yeah.
But I just want to say this. I don't think it's cool. I think that there is a culture that is being exposed right now.
Yes.
In Hollywood. A culture of power that is misused and in a sexual manner that is disgusting. It's terrible. That's the power in Hollywood. It's a cultural thing and it's being exposed right now and it should be. And fuck you, Kevin Spacey, and fuck you, Louis C.K., even though I used to love you. I don't anymore. I really don't. Fuck you. But that's part of a Hollywood culture. What's the problem that I'm seeing is that it's being kind of replicated out, expanded out into men with power. And then from there, it's not just men with power, it's if any man had power, they would do it. So it becomes an accusation of the entire gender. Strangely enough, I am now trying to defend our entire gender because I feel like it really is getting to that point where it's like, holy shit, men are scum. And well, have you ever heard men are pigs?
Yeah.
Well, now we've got a little bit of evidence, but it takes extrapolation. It takes you have to take this situation and then draw it out and assume, and not with evidence, but just assume that all men are capable of this. And I don't like that.
I realize you don't like it, but it's not just Hollywood, Joe. I know you wanted to end this and going on to something funny, but and we will.
You think? Well, of course, it's more than just Hollywood. I just think that Hollywood, that type of culture became pervasive and acceptable, and that's different. There are other situations where men are powerful, and even where females are powerful, where that's not a pervasive cultural behavioral tendency. Well, like
it kind of is,
though.
That
doesn't just happen everywhere where anyone is powerful. Like, Jason, this is my problem. If I become powerful, does that mean I'm going to all of a sudden goose some, 15-year-old? Please.
No, that's not what – I don't think that's what anybody is saying. I don't think that as soon as you
become – I don't know. Go ahead.
I'm thinking – okay. The reason why it's so celebrated in Hollywood for – not to make a pun, is that those are famous people, right? When, Dick Swarrenson over there at LBG Corporation, who's a vice president, harasses somebody, whether he gets caught or not, we're never going to hear about it. We're only hearing about it because these people are famous. But, Joe, this has been going on all over the world for a long-ass time, and it is a part of society because when a woman shows up in Hollywood, for example, or maybe at LBG Corp or whatever, and
it's who the fuck are you?
That's not what I'm saying. When she shows up and some guy says, hey, baby, it's either put up or shut up, she's already part of a society where she has that – she understands that is what's expected of her. It's not any kind of shock. If somebody said that to you, Joe, you would probably be shocked, like, wait a minute, what? That's just weird. But a woman, she's been taught that that's how things are going to be, and that's half of it. Here's the other half, and here's the part where you might – admit that you are capable of these things. Let me ask you, here's a theoretical situation. It's really stupid, but bear with me. Let's say you're sitting on a bench in a park and a dog comes walking by. Dog's got no collar on, and stuck to the dog's foot is a $100 bill. And the dog stops in front of you. Would you have any issue taking the $100 bill off of that dog's foot and keeping it for yourself?
Is it a stray dog?
Yeah, it's a stray dog.
Yeah, $100 bill is mine. Sorry, yeah. But I can't produce a sentence right now.
No, that's
the
fine.
$100 bill is mine, right, off of a stray dog's foot.
Right. Yeah, and yes. I think that when people get a certain amount of power, they start to see other individuals, not on purpose, it just happens this way, they start seeing other individuals as stray dogs. And when they take something from the stray dog, they do not feel like they're doing anything wrong. Which is why they always come up with these shitty apologies like, well, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. See, Louis C.K. is whipping it out in front of these women. He's not thinking, look what I'm getting away with. He's thinking, she doesn't care. She's just a woman. I'm famous. She doesn't care. Now, Harvey Weinstein, he probably knew he was fucking around. He needs to go to hell. But a lot of these people, their lame-ass excuse is they did not consider the other person worthy of enough thought.
Yes, I agree with that, but let me expand upon it. I think it's this. When you get to a certain amount of power, you're used to women like just being down with whatever you want.
No, let's be clear. Not women.
If you're powerful enough, and actually you can go the other direction too. Let's say you're Demi Moore. And let's say I was an 18-year-old Joe in a room with Demi Moore when she was like 32 or something. I think I've got the math right, actually. But there she is. And she's just like, hey, Joe, take your pants off. Well, I might do it. Maybe I'm going a little off the fucking rails here. But what I'm saying is, listen, Jason, I think that men in a certain position of power, they start to think because no woman ever says no to them anymore. They just don't. And so once no woman says no to you, you start thinking, you stop asking, and you start just being a fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's happening, but that's no excuse, dude.
It's not. But look, just in the words you use, you actually already showed – you're going to get really mad when I say this. You actually already showed a little bit of what your wife's talking about. You said – and we can actually go back because this is recorded. You said you're used to women – and you use the plural – you're used to women being down with whatever you want, right? Those are the words you used. Except it's not women. It's not women. It's individual people who were down, and they don't represent
all. Damn it, you're right.
Exactly.
But listen. Yes, maybe I'm a scumbag. I don't think so.
I don't think you're a scumbag.
I generalized in a way that might make my point understandable. That is, okay – for instance, let's say you are, I don't know, think of the, you're George Clooney, Jason.
Yep.
That's
actually
who you are.
Yeah. Okay.
You're George Clooney. You're in a room, actually for the last 20 years, you've been in a room full of hot women the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't mean to generalize the term women, but if you're George Clooney, women are into you.
Yes.
You get used to it.
Sure.
You're George Clooney. You walk into a fucking room. How many of those women are ready to suck your penis? Quite a few of them, I think.
But
I think so.
However.
And then you get used to it. Now, I'm not saying that George Clooney is a fucking asshole, because I think he's able, among him and many other celebrities, are able to rest that power and be a gentleman about it. You don't have to be Louis C.K. and say, I'm going to jack off in front of you. All you have to do is go, hey, how you doing? Just like when we were teenagers, Jason, all you have to do is talk to the woman. If you're George Clooney, you're going to get someone into your hotel room. You don't have to be a dickhead about it. You don't have to be a fucking scumbag. All you have to do is look a woman in the eye and be like, are you interested? How are you doing? What's going on? And perhaps they will be. In fact, most likely they will be, because you're fucking George Clooney.
See,
what I'm saying. You don't have to be a dickhead.
I hear exactly what you're saying, and the spirit of what you're talking about makes sense. If you're a good-looking, powerful, rich person, you know, you don't have to force anybody, because there's plenty of people who are going to be willing. That makes sense. But don't you kind of see in the words you're using, Joe, how you're making some assumptions? Like, you're kind of making the argument for, hey, if I've got what's going on, or I think I've got what's going on, then people are going to want this. And therefore, you don't have to ask them, right? You don't have to.
No, I'm not making that argument. Jason, the argument that I'm making is, be a gentleman about your power. Like, if women are going to perhaps be more attracted to you on a general basis because you're famous and powerful and good looking, and I'm talking about famous and powerful Louis C.K. I'm talking about good looking when it comes to George Clooney. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if there are these attractive qualities there, as you walk into the room, you don't need to be a fucking son of a bitch. You don't need to. You could just be a perfectly cool dude. And if you want to hit on a girl, do it like any of us do. And you're going to be very successful, because you're fucking George Clooney. And the women around you are like, ooh, that's intriguing. And I'm not downplaying women in general or any individual woman. Of course, look, Katy Perry walks in. You're single, okay?
Yeah.
She doesn't need to abuse her power in order to get you in bed, Jason. She doesn't need to. She doesn't need to abuse her power. All she has to do is speak to you, be respectful to you, flirt with you a little bit, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
And she doesn't need to be a fucking piece of shit.
That's true.
And what's happened is that these people, Louis C.K., Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, they didn't need to do it ever. They didn't need to abuse their power at all. What they needed to do was, if they're attracted to somebody, talk to that person. And guess what? They have a lot of attractive qualities. A few of them being, I'm famous, I'm rich, I'm good looking, I'm talented. You don't need to fucking push that on someone. All you need to do is sit there and have it, and people come to you.
I guess my argument is not so much that you're wrong. It's just that I guess I'm struggling with the intimation that we could ever speak for anybody, especially all women, to say that if a person is good looking and famous and talented, that women would be willing to get with that. And the proof is all these guys have to do is say, hey, you want to get with this? And I think the issue is that a lot of the times just saying, hey, just flirting, you're Joe, the president of LBC Corporation. You make $10 million a year. You're in a bar. JBC, sure. You're in a bar and you're sitting next to a woman and you know, and she says, oh, you're the CEO and I work in your corporation, sir. And you say to her, I'm a gentleman. I'm very much about everybody's individuality and their rights. And if you answer no to this question, it will have no repercussions whatsoever. Will you sleep with me? She's going to probably say yes more often than not, just because it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how gentlemanly you actually are. If she thinks even for a second that her career is in jeopardy.
But doesn't that make whoever is in that position automatically an asshole?
Like, that's my point.
Isn't that an abuse of power whether you intend it to be or not?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's a problem.
When you say that George Clooney is good looking enough that he can pull any bird who wants him.
I don't know
I'm
if
saying
he can.
Even,
I just feel like he's got a good chance.
No,
okay?
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, that makes sense. What I'm getting at is just the very fact that he is who he is. He automatically is wielding power whether he wants to or not. In fact, he kind of – I think that when you're in those positions, you kind of have to hold back as much as possible. You can't go up to somebody.
You know what? You're right. I totally agree with you. And actually, the first time I met you as an adult, that's how I felt. I was like, this man is clearly powerful.
Me?
Yeah. I'm trying to kind of replicate this situation into our relationship, which is like, okay, I met Jason. And I was like, God damn. You were very respectful, but, you know, in terms of my career, like, what was I going to do? Like, if you said, Joe, look, you're going to have to make me a bologna sandwich. You're going to have to make me a damn good bologna sandwich right now. I need Miracle Whip, not mayonnaise, and I need Ruffles on my bologna sandwich. Would I have said no? I don't think so. I think I would have been forced into that situation.
Yeah.
I would have had to do it. And honestly, look, I'm not saying this or that, but maybe Jason, I did make you that sandwich, and maybe I don't feel good about it.
Well,
okay?
Well, I'll say what the other guys have been saying, Joe. You know, I don't remember the sandwich, but if I asked you to make it and it made you feel uncomfortable, then I'm sorry that the situation made you uncomfortable. I know that you had a lot of respect for me as one of the best humans ever. And since I am one of the best humans ever, I will, take the high road here and say it probably might not ever happen again.
Well, Jason, I'd like to say that if we had some sort of metaphorical statement about what's going on, we've lost it completely. I do want to say this. I think that this abuse of power being called out is a very, very good thing. I hate it because some of these artists I used to love and I don't anymore. Because if you're that fucking asshole, I don't care how much your power is not your excuse. Fuck you. Fuck you. And I'm sorry, and it's not going to stop here, by the way. In the next week or two, we're going to hear about more artists that we admire, and we're no longer going to admire them. And it's a sad thing, but it's not, because fuck that entire culture. If that's what's happening, it needs to stop. And I'm not an activist, but I'm going to say it right here on JBC. Fuck that shit. And Jason, and you know what? Our entire listener, just know that was just a joke. Jason didn't make me make a bologna sandwich with Ruffles and not mayonnaise, but Miracle Whip instead. No decent human being would do that to another human being. And Jason didn't do it to me. We were trying to make a point, but I'm just not sure what the point was.
Me neither. And we've been doing this show for 45 minutes now, and I know you're desperate to say something funny, so I guess we've sort of come to a good conclusion.
You mean of this part of the
podcast? Yeah, we've
done it again. You know what? It's been a couple of podcasts where we just couldn't stop but just talking about serious shit, and it's not very entertaining, but I guess we can't help it every once in a while.
Every once in a while. We just got to get it out of our system. This is episode 42.
And 42, I guess, which is, hey, what is 42 the answer of? You know the answer to this.
It's the answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything or something.
That's correct. Douglas Adams.
Douglas Adams.
42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is where I wanted to get real lazy. I can't believe that we've been talking about serious shit for this long.
Sorry.
I really doubt that Ian is going to enjoy it. I think he's going to turn it off right in the middle of our fucking stupid thing. You told me long ago, like, let's not be topical, please. And we just did it for a long time.
We did.
I want to listen to some YouTube videos just for fun on the way out here.
Okay.
You know, we're at 45 minutes, I'm sure. And this goes right along with our podcast. It's not us. It's just stuff that we like. This is not creativity.
No.
It's entertaining, but it's not creative.
Barely, yes.
Certainly.
No.
So I think that's good, and that will suffice as my argument for cancellation, is that all we've done today is not entertain and then try to entertain based on other people's work.
So you want me to play some YouTube videos? Is that what's happening right now?
Well, yeah, and you know, it's not even you right now. Is it you or is it Jamie Jenner that's doing the YouTube at the YouTube booth, as
Jamie,
it were?
Jamie is she's in the Jamie Jenner. She's, you know what? She has the longest middle finger I've ever seen in my life. She's in the booth. She's on her phone. She says she's what? Okay, sorry. Apparently my shirt's unbuttoned. Hang on a second.
Hey, Jason, so I'd like to start our very lazy and let's be clear about this. We're going to be lazy now because we're almost at the end of the year. The next episode is going to be basically taken over by our fathers, because the next episode is the Thanksgiving episode.
Yes.
And both your father and my father, that is my uncle and your uncle.
Yes.
Will basically take over the show. And
brothers from the same mother.
You know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree? I mean, absolutely. That's basically what's going to happen. And then after that, we're just on a downward slope to the end of the year show, which is all sorts of like recap shit. We don't need any content. All the content is going to be from the entire year of the show.
Right.
So like, man, we're cruising right now. We don't need to do anything. And I'd like to start that off with a YouTube video that I call, wait, I don't call it that. Again, this is not my own creativity. This is somebody else's video. It's just funny as shit.
Okay.
Let me see if I can figure it out. Damn, I don't even know the name of it, but the guy says, well, the dog's name is Joby. Okay. Type in shitty dog. Shitty dog Joby shitty dog.
Dog won't listen to owner.
Yes, thank you. Now play that and I'm gonna go get a drink and take a pee.
Alright.
Thanks, Jason.
Here we go. While Joe's taking a pee, let's listen to Dog Won't Listen. It is playing now, I promise you. Here it comes. Listener, just get ready for the fun. And here it is. Today, is that the ocean?
I want to show y'all how this dog, he mines so good. I want to show you something. Get that ball over here, dog. Come on. Let's get your dog. Let's get your ball and play with it. I ain't got no damn ball. Where he done playing over here. There you go. That's what I want y'all to see, how good he mind me. Come on, bring the ball back, boy. Come on, bring it on right. You see, he working his way over this way. Bring the ball back, boy. Bring it on back, son. That guy, Joe, I'm over here, boy. Hey, boy, don't go in that damn water. I'm over here. Don't go. You're going to get wet. You're going to get wet. I ain't going to take you home. Well, come on. He got his damn feet wet now. Shit, dog. Come on over here, Joe. Come on. Let's show him how good you do now. Come on right here to me, boy. Come on right here. I want you to show him how good you know how to mind me. Come on. I'm waiting on you to throw your ball back to you, boy. Bring it on back. He just studying it right now. Come on, boy. He got to do a little meditating. You know how dogs is and all. They have to think a little bit and ponder the whole situation. Cause he. Oh, Joby, what you doing, dog? Joby, that's the nastiest thing I ever seen you do. Bring your ball. This shit gonna get on your ball. Bring it on back. Oh, boy. No, you making a mess. Oh, good night. No, crank that car up, girl. Crank that car. Get me all out of here. I ain't taking that old shitty dog out with me.
That's pretty good. I think Joe's still taking a leak. So I'll just have to entertain you all by myself. If we're even still recording. Let me see. Oh, yeah, we are. We got 9 minutes left. What I did this weekend... And Joe, you can listen to this later when you listen to the show. I ran half a marathon. I went to Las Vegas for the Rock and Roll Half Marathon, and I ran the sucker in 2 hours and 31 seconds. So I was just 31 seconds short of being under 2 hours, but my watch said that I ran an extra tenth of a mile, probably because I was weaving back and forth around people. And so if you give me that tenth of a mile back, I did run 13.1 miles in less than 2 hours, which makes me something of a stud. And if Joe comes back, I'm sure he
Jason, agree. I'm here? Really sorry that I've done this to you.
What did you do?
I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I tried to make myself a drink. I thought that the YouTube video would be sufficient. Clearly it was not. You started telling a crazy story. I know that you're good for that whenever I leave the show.
It's all good.
And I left the show, but
it's okay.
Here we go.
What's the next video?
I would like for – okay. We're probably over at this point. But
nope,
don't you have a favorite YouTube video?
Something
that would be funny for our listener.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. I don't know what – it's playing right now in the background.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Ian.
Ian saying, yeah. You know what it's doing? It's that stupid soundboard. God damn it.
I've got a few, by the way, and this is just free content, so we could coast.
Did I ever play you the insanity test?
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite things. Listening back to it, it was one of my favorite things. In fact, I thought it was a challenge because you were like, "Okay, now we're both gonna fucking laugh. There's no way around it. Here we go." And we both laughed our asses off, and then you were like, "And now it's your turn, Joe, for your content that you actually created." Luckily enough, I presented something that was maybe not as funny but close, and I felt okay. Like you gave me a show, like an act to follow that was very difficult, but I did it. I tried at least.
Did
and it was my argument for cancellation, and here we are still doing the show.
So then I didn't – let me see. Are you telling me that I did play this on the show already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. Okay. Yeah, that one. Here, let me tell you one. This is good.
Okay, I got
actually,
one. I got one.
Disturbing.
I got one.
You got
turn.
One?
Yeah.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
I think.
This is the ambulance emergency line. Do you have an emergency?
I need a bam
yes.
of that.
Yes.
Who is this?
Joe.
Okay. Oh, where do you need us?
I'm in a motherfucking phone booth.
Okay, what's the address there?
Hold on.
Okay, Joe, I need a location. What street are you on?
I'm in the motherfucking phone booth at the stop and go. Yeah, I'm at the. That's it. I'm at the motherfucking stop and go. Wait a minute. Huff. What's the motherfucking street? Huff Smith, Corville, and something. At the motherfucking stop and go. Yo!
Uh huh.
How about. Let me see.
I'm in the motherfucking phone booth.
I'm
going down the motherfucking road, driving my car, minding my own goddamn business, and a motherfucking deer jumped out and hit my car. Okay, sir, are you injured?
He called the cops.
I get out and pick the motherfucking deer up. I thought he's dead. I put the motherfucking deer in my back seat, and I'm driving down the motherfucking road and minding my own business. The motherfucking woke up and bit me in the back of my goddamn neck. He bit me and it done kicked the shit out of my car. I'm in the motherfucking phone booth. The deer bit me in the neck. A big motherfucking dog came up and bit me in the leg. I hit him with the motherfucking tire iron and I stabbed him with my knife. So I got a hurt leg and the motherfucking deer bit me in the neck. And the dog won't let me out of the motherfucking phone booth because he wants the deer.
Jason, I'm gonna have to cut you off there because
okay,
before
sir,
we go,
injured?
I know that we're over.
That's bit me in the neck.
It's almost done.
The motherfucking dog is biting me. Hold on, God damn it, get out of here! Hold on, the motherfucking dog is biting my ass.
that sounds familiar, right? Listen, there's a couple things.
Yeah.
I think you would enjoy. One of them is kind of disturbing. I don't know if it's a happy thing, but I'm a little worried about myself that I laugh so loud, so hard at it every time I hear it. But if you type in such a thing, let me see. It's grape stomping reporter gets hurt. How about
that? Grape stomping lady falls?
Yes. How about that?
Grape lady falls?
Now, let me set it up because –
okay.
This is it's a video thing, but it's very much an auditory thing too.
Yeah.
But if our listener, Ian, doesn't understand what you're about to hear, then it won't be nearly as intriguing. It's a reporter who's like, "Oh, okay, we're going to get up on this platform and we're going to start stomping grapes in a bucket because that's how we make wine in this. It's a news story, right? We're going to make wine. We're all going to get up on this platform and make wine and stomp grapes, okay? But it just doesn't go so well, so hit it."
Before I hit it, just so you know, there are many versions. There's the 1 minute 27 version, the 1 minute 13 version. There's the Family Guy parody. There's
no shit, Family Guy got a hold of this.
There's an auto-tune remix.
I just want the original. Good.
There's an auto-tune remix. There's a Bill Burr
That's
narrating it.
Good.
And then there's one where someone is reenacting
Bill
it.
Bill Burr
large...
narrating it?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wow.
And then there's one with somebody reenacting it with a laundry basket. Tell you what, let me play the original.
Yeah.
And please. Folks can look for the rest themselves.
And one of the things that's done is right here, these buckets are filled with grapes. What kind of grapes?
These are filled with Chamberson grapes, and the winner this Saturday who stomps the most juice will actually win an overnight stay here at Chateau Alon.
You ready?
You ready to try it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
Not disgusting.
Let's
All right,
go.
You ready? Give us a 30-second time. Here we go. So what's the deal here? There's a contest to stomp, and how are you measuring who does the best stomping?
And whoever stomps the most juice wins an overnight stay, but it's not the only thing you can do.
The measuring cups are down below, right?
Measuring cups are down below.
All right. And if you win, you get to stay at Chateau Alon. And what else do you have going on here?
Well, if grape stomping's not your thing, you can come and spend the day listening to live music, eating international foods, having wine tours and tasting, vineyard tours, seminars, arts and crafts. It's a lot of fun, a whole day.
Stop.
What the hell are these women talking about?
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Okay, Jason, I thought that would be funny, but it's not funny in any way.
You're right. I'm laughing at. Oh, Joe, you always save the day.
It took so long to get there, and when she finally got hurt, I was just like, "Somebody help this woman!" Like, it wasn't funny at all. Uh-huh. I was sure that it would be funny, but I was wrong.
That
poor woman fell off the
Yeah.
She fell off the platform and I think really might have like permanently injured herself. And then we have like,
Well, yeah, she got the wind knocked out of her probably. Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounded like. Yeah.
I don't know. When I hear a person kind of yowl like that, I felt like maybe there was at least a broken rib. But
probably. Yeah, she fell off a pretty high platform there, poor thing.
Yeah.
So, well,
how about
– okay, we'll do one more because we're at the 60-minute mark, but we can't go out on that one. So
No, we can't. That ended up just making me feel bad. Okay. I wanted to laugh, but it didn't work out. I think that a good one is I have kind of a fixation on reporters laughing. It's almost like what you did on an earlier podcast where you're like, actually, what this is going to do is going to make me laugh so hard that you're going to laugh and we're both going to start laughing. And what's the funniest thing is going to be that we're both laughing.
Yes.
And that was the Formula One thing. Like, yeah. Beep, 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 right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the same type of thing. I think that once a news reporter starts laughing and another news reporter starts laughing, then I start laughing and then perhaps you'll start laughing.
Probably.
And what it is, this news reporter is – reporting that a model has fallen down on the catwalk. See if you can Google that. I don't know what you would say, but
reporter laughs at model falling.
Yeah, that ought
pretty
to do
much,
it.
Yeah, this is it. Okay, again, there's a long version and a short version. I'll just do the long version and stop
yeah,
if I need to.
Yeah, just do it. Right, see what you think.
All right. It started, and it's just
Rob. This is Fashion Week over in Paris. The latest fashions are on the runway for next spring. But there was a problem out there today. One of the British designers' shows had a difficulty. A model fell down twice. That's her going down once. The young woman wearing that pink skirt and the orange platform shoes never quite recovered after that. There she goes. That had to hurt. That was uncool. That's embarrassing. This is at least the second time.
Well, you all are just really tickled by that, aren't you? You try walking in those shoes.
Hey, first of all, baby, I got enough meat on me that it's all right.
George. I'm sorry.
Come on. They're trying to calm down, but listen. Yeah, but now, Ian, what you're looking at now is this model on the catwalk. She's wobbling in just a ridiculous fashion.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
For way too long before she finally falls over. And, you know what? That's my fucking excuse for comedy, Jason.
I think it's
Thank you.
I think it's a pretty good excuse. Pretty good excuse. And I'm waiting for my soundboard to come back up so I can play the outro music. Jamie?
Oh, no. I have one more. And right, this,
good enough.
This one is sure to be good.
All right.
Chris the last one was good. P. Bacon.
Chris?
And this is an audio one. It really is.
Chris?
Now, I P. want everybody to know Bacon. That what you're about to look at is a pig that has no back legs and has wheels instead of back legs. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Chris P. Bacon. And the reporter cannot handle it.
There here you go.
Now to the story of a pig that is inspiring others. One pot-bellied pig has certainly endured his share of problems. Chris P. Bacon was born without the use of his back. My king.
For some reason, the audio is only in one channel here.
You have to read this story.
Okay. Joe, are you still there?
I don't know. I wasn't able to hear it, but I was hoping that everybody else could.
That was weird. It was only in one channel there. Maybe you should give me another one, or I could do a different version of it. I don't know why it wasn't playing. That was weird. It's only one channel.
Crispy Bacon is goddamn funny. If we can end the show with Crispy Bacon, I will feel satisfied.
All right, I think we can. Wow, that's loud. It was we learn anything today? Jamie, turn it down. Jamie Jenner. You know what? I'm going to break that middle fucking finger. Sorry. Joe, did we learn anything today?
Jason, we've learned nothing.
It's a usual normal show then.
Yeah. Our ability to entertain, I think, has been exposed.
I think that what we did was we took one for the team being you, me, and our dads, our uncles, brothers from the same mother, and that way the next episode will be that much better, right? Because if this one was a thing that was awesome that I can't think of a good word to say for it, anything dilly is, then they would have to follow that, but now they get to follow shit, and they're going to shine no matter what they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. We've decided that we're going to be a very shitty act that our fathers can follow.
Yes, because
no matter what, their show is going to be better than what just happened.
Right, exactly. Do you think that they would say the same thing about like their lives and us? Like they'd say they led shitty lives so we could be nice ones? You think they'd no?
Yeah, my dad said that to me the other day. He was like, you know, the cool thing about you, Joe, is, you know, you can't, my act, you can't follow that act. You can't do it. And I feel good about it. I was the opening act, and I fucking killed. You fucking bombed. And that makes my entire effort seem so much better. And I was like, thanks a lot, Dad. And then I wept.
He really said that?
No!
Good night, everybody.
Crispy bacon! Yeah. When you listen to a podcast, do you ever just listen to the music all the way out?
Oh, no, never.
I'm that asshole. Some podcasts just have music that just keeps playing, and then there are ads afterwards, and, like, I forget to hit stop. And
do you want to do an ad after this?
No, I feel like the Royksopf is so good that you just play it out. And somebody like me that is like weed whacking or vacuuming or doing dishes will just keep listening to it and forget that they're listening to Just Be Cousins.